Welcome to Diving Board, a show about artists, the art they create, and the wide range of social and cultural ideas they explore. I'm Bill Valerio, and I run the Woodmere Art Museum, where we tell the stories of Philadelphia's art and artists. On this episode, we're diving into the work of Henry Bermudez, a Philadelphia-based, Venezuela-born artist, and we are bringing you a special behind-the-scenes conversation with Henry and our guest curator, Gabby Height, as we prepare the installation of his retrospective. This is a show of 20 years of Henry's work made here in Philadelphia. Henry came to Philadelphia in 2003, a political refugee from Venezuela, and he rebuilt his life and his art practice in Philadelphia. The exhibition runs through May 19th, 2024, and it is the most extensive exploration to date of Henry's work. It includes approximately 40 paintings, some of them gigantic, and it chronicles his experience since arriving in Philadelphia as an immigrant and a seeker of political asylum. As an artist in Venezuela, Henry built a successful international career. While still in his 30s, he represented his country, Venezuela, in the Venice Biennale of 1986. In 2003, however, Henry learned, while traveling in the United States, that the political regime in Venezuela had determined that his art expressed ideas that threatened authoritarian cultural objectives. With a friend in Philadelphia who was able to, and the need to build a new life and a new career in the United States. Well, gosh, it's terrific to be together, and welcome to the gallery. The show is incredibly exciting. It's exploding with energy. And Henry, I mean, the first person we want to hear from is you. What do you think?
It's a wonderful, wonderful show. The variation of the work worked very well. So I can see how the dialogue between one painting with another is very interesting, very impressive, the job that you have done to put it together, all of this. Let me tell you that I was very afraid that so many different paintings from different styles and period of my work couldn't work together, but it's totally gone, these fears. Now I see how powerful and cohesive is this show.
So what's so exciting about this show is that it's a 20-year evolution. This is Henry's Philadelphia retrospective. It's 20 years of work that represents a rebirth, an artist who had to rebuild his practice, and a person who had to bring his sense of self to a new place as a person born in Venezuela, immersed in Latin culture and Latin history, the Spanish language, and then coming to Philadelphia, coming to terms with American culture, learning the English language, and our strange ways in Philadelphia with all our Quakerism and brotherly love and sisterly affection that we share. But, you know, but that's very real, that coming to terms with a sense of self. And I think what's so interesting is that the show gives a sense of your arrival at a place where you are comfortable with who you are. Is that a fair thing for me to say, Henry?
Well, I'll say that when I arrived in Philadelphia, I was totally a different person. And I didn't have any idea about what is going to happen to myself and how I'm going to be able and arrive to this specific moment with all of this production. Everything that you see here began from my everyday living act, living connection with the society, with the reality of this city, that I had to be put it together with my background and my new feeling, my new vision as a new arrival in this city, you know. So I had to readapt, reinvent myself in the new reality.
Gabby, tell us about the story that is told through the galleries. What's going on here?
It's interesting to see what happens over the 20 years. Like in the earlier years, he's presenting a lot of mythology, a lot of symbolism from Latin American lore and religions, and his own opinions on this, and his hybrid creatures. But it's very interesting. You go later, more recent years, he's introducing the American flag, and it's really becoming a different kind of a statement. He's talking more about, talking as an American and telling us his story. And then I saw this little painting on his wall that we weren't talking about. And I'm like, I see bald eagles. When was that made?
Gabby, you were talking about this painting. What's the title?
It's from the series, The Eagle and the Sun.
It is very related with the Mexican mythology, because the eagle and the sun in the Aztec mythology is very strong, very present. So my influences that I got living in Mexico, who accompanied me since then, I was painting this series in Venezuela without thinking that one day I will come to America.
When you made this, were you thinking of this eagle as a symbol of America?
Of course. I understood that from the beginning, and I use it because it's the mythology of the American culture. You know, everything big is better.
No? That's America.
That's America. American dream. You know, so I use like a power or powerful symbolism, the sun and the eagle. This is the interpretation.
What's interesting, too, this work made in Venezuela, it's a particular scale, smaller than your recent work. The lines have a precision. Forms and shapes are contained. That did not last very long when you arrived in the United States. Is that fair, Henry?
When I arrived in the United States, everything started from scratch. Imagine 53 years old guy arriving here without knowing the culture, without knowing the language. We have no contact. I didn't know anything. So I start just touching and moving. This is how I move here, little by little, and has been 20 years so far.
And when you came here, you started looking for different things. It wasn't always easy to use oil with ventilation, so you used cut paper, you started using acrylics.
Henry, let me ask you a question about this painting, The Heavens. Is this the heavens, like in the traditional Judeo-Christian sense, like the heavens up in the sky where we may be so lucky as to go? Or is this the heavens on earth somehow? Because it's very creature-like and much more like an ocean than something I would associate with the heavens and the sky. What heavens are these?
This is the heaven that happened in the heaven. This is what happened in the heaven, in the real heaven. This is belong to my first show in Philadelphia. So you have to realize what happened from that little painting to this big world. What is in between them? This is an idea how I change, how I become from there to this.
It's a big step.
Made by little steps. Little steps. I told you before, touching and moving. It was a process of learning everything at the same time. Learning English, learning about America, learning about my possibilities, and working in my little studio. In Venezuela, I have a studio. In Philadelphia, I have a kitchenette, you know, where I was living there. I put the futon in the little kitchen to leave all the other space for my studio. So I went little by little developing this idea, and this is the most mature done in this period. In this period, you know. So this is the heaven, because imagine somebody who have no any idea about the future. How my life is going to be developed here, where I am going, what I'm doing here, why I'm here. And we have a saying in Venezuela, or maybe Latin America, we look to the heaven and say, God, I am here, help me. So this is my heaven.
Oh, we do that here too. We do that here too.
It's very beautiful, Henry, and so it's a picture of the imagination and the
many of these fears I had been collected for years and years before I came here, and I have all of them in my mind. I say that I have a file in the back of my mind. And I take images from there and combine them, and I enrich all of this file with new images, with my new experiences. So this is a compilation of all of these feelings, doubts, images that I put it there, you know, in the random way, you know, with any specific idea or plan, and came out like that. And actually was a friend who baptized this painting. Paul Santorelli, the artist, the muralist, came to my studio, and I just finished in this and that moment, and he said, look like heaven.
And is that where the title came from?
I say magnificent, because I was thinking in that. This is a heaven. This is what I'm thinking that, you know. But he really gave the idea of the title. But I was just, actually, the show was called Looking to the Heaven. What's the name of the show? The title.
I know this was a big turning point in your style. And now I know you're doing a lot of wood cutting. But as far as the glitter, you were saying, I was originally thinking like, oh, America is so glitzy and glittery. But you were telling me that was inspired from Peru, from your several visits to Peru.
In 2016, I went to visit Peru for 3 months and visited the market, seeing the craft, seeing the full color of all the Peruvian dresses and traditional cloth that remind me a lot when I was in Mexico. So I see a lot of similitude between these two cultures, you know. So the idea of the color, the idea of the glitter, the idea of the sparking came to me again in that moment, even though I didn't use it before. Because what inspired me in Mexico was, when I went to live in Mexico, I made drawings in black and white. And when I came out from Mexico, my drawings were full of colors, full of color. This is how I put together many years later when I went to Peru. So I combined both experiences and create the glitter element. Of course, being in America, I understand the pop culture here, how people really use glitter in the cloth, in the hat, in the everywhere, and how the symbolism of this is amazing. It's big. So I was inspired by that as well.
I think one of the nice things about your concept for the show, Gabby, is that there's a thesis, the evolution of an artist over 20 years in Philadelphia, reforming his voice as he reforms his person. But one of the important influences, one of the important building blocks for you, Henry, as I understand it, was your engagement with African-American culture in Philadelphia and the strength of African-American voices in our city, which is a majority, not white city. And I know that Gabby and Henry together, you selected this monumental painting that has a giant figure modeled by Kalesha Pitts, an artist herself, a model and a muse for a lot of artists here in Philadelphia. And I wonder if we can talk about your painting of Kalesha, but then also what is it that you learned from African-American people here in Philadelphia that's different from your encounters in Venezuela, which is a mixed race country, of course, as well with a strong element of African diaspora there as well.
So let me say something. I'm very political in the real life and as an artist. I'm really concerned about what is going on in our society, economically, politically, and culturally. In Venezuela, when I got graduated from the art school, I was maybe 20 years old, and I got my first job as an art teacher. They sent to me to one very far away from the city, little town that was created by the slave that run out from the plantation, and they went hidden inside of the jungle, and they reproduced their own reality from Africa. Of course, 500 years later, I was there teaching art, that really I was learning art, not teaching, learning from them. So in Venezuela, we have a small amount of population of pure African, because our real color is brown. All Venezuelans are mixed. All Venezuelans have from Europe, from Indians, and from Africa. Everybody, nobody is pure. Okay, maybe after the immigration in the Second World War, they became Spanish people, Italian people. They are white, white, white. But normally, we are brown color. So when I was in Bovures, I was influenced by this African-American descendant Caribbean influence culture. I understood about syncretism there. I understood about magic realism there. I learned about some traditions that are still being alive in that region. And as a young artist who have nothing yet, because I just was a fresh artist who came out from the art school, I absorbed all of this. And the region, very tropical, is a region where almost every day it is raining because it is in the skirt of the Andean Mountains and in front of the Maracaibo Lake. So I came from there. After I understood more about American culture and to be more integrated, and how me as an artist who is living now in America, who became American citizen, I'm going to interpret this. What is my connection with my new reality, with my new culture? I'm in America now. I bought here. I pay taxes here. And I interact with American, the real American. And these people is part of my reality. One day I met Kalesha. When I saw that beautiful woman, immediately I thought Bovures. Bobure de la Costa, this little town where I was teaching when I was 20 years old, she immediately opened my mind and wake all my memories. And I said to her, listen, I want to have a project with you. Could you want to post to me? Immediately she said, yes. So we start working together and I produce a series of painting with her. I'm very worried about the possibility that Donald Trump repeat as a president in this country, because I saw this movie before. I saw this in my country. We elect a leader who destroyed the country legally, because everything that Hugo Chavez did when he controlled the whole country. You cannot say that Venezuela is no democracy there. Actually, what we are living now is this year we are going to have elections in Venezuela, and the leader of the opposition that won for 92% of the vote has been banned by the government, so cannot be candidate to run for the presidency. This is the kind of election that we have. Oh, I have been reading, learning, and I understand that there is a dilemma with this situation, because if Donald Trump wins, he's going to control this country. But if he lost, he's going to create chaos here. And this is a situation that really deeply, deeply concerned me. In Venezuela, Donald Trump, when he was in the presidency, he wanted to write off the lefty government that we have in Venezuela. And he did everything. And he had a specific affirmation. He said, all the options are on the table. All the options are on the table. That means that if the conversation doesn't work, the military option is there. The government said if the Marines came, they are going to come in, but they won't go out. And this will be destroyed, everything. That will be the destruction of this country. In that moment, when I felt that that was so possible, because we're, you know, two sides, two bands, working and pressuring for each side, I said, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. The civil war, the destruction of the government, this is crazy. And I went to the Museum of Art, Philadelphia Museum of Art, just to clean it up a little bit, to relax, to you know. And I saw this Salvador Dali painting, and I said, this is exactly what is going to happen in Venezuela, and this is continue. So I made this Venezuelan flag, you know, over there. And the title is the Premonition of the Civil War, parenthesis, Venezuela. I'm very political, very political. I cannot disconnect my vision of the society from my art. I know that for some people that sounds very bad, because, you know, art is art and political, and, you know, but in some cases, you know, I am not making propaganda.
The function of this conversation of the art that's here is to open our minds to these realities that are very tangible to you, Henry. And, you know, that's what we want the museum to do, is to be a platform so that we can engage with this. And I think that's why these conversations are so important and so interesting and so enriching. And we all learn so much. You know, museums are for people who, you know, want to open their mind to new experiences. And this is what you're giving us. I'd love to move to something that's maybe less political, but equally moving,
and that is The Sunflowers of Vincent van Gogh. And you know, there's a lot of texture there. And I'd love to know, Henry, what was it about The Sunflowers that attracted you? I mean, they're one of everybody's favorite images and icons in the whole wide world. So tell us.
I'm sorry, Bill.
You're going to bust my bubble.
I'm sorry, Bill. Continue being very political.
Okay.
Very political. Do you know what that means? Black sunflowers? When the real sunflowers by Vincent is a white statement of worldwide culture. It's the power of the white imposition over the other ones. This is, and made it black, take the sunflower from Van Gogh and made it black, it doesn't mean something to you?
And also sparkling and fur. I guess that's just extra embellishment, or is there a meaning behind that?
Well, you know, glitter, this is another point of my work. I decided to put the glitter on my work. I took a risk. I took a risk when I chose one of the most humble, insignificant, and value material and bring this to the art field. So if you think that art is made with oil, with linen, with acrylic, paintbrush is very expensive, everything is so expensive today. And I'm using glitter. Who use glitter in this society?
Children.
No, only children.
The flashy fashion we were talking about earlier, right? The flashy, I mean, you even have some paintings that are not in this show, but of Mickey Mouse covered in glitter.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's even a step further.
Yeah. So when you see somebody t-shirt full of glitter and continuous sequence, everything is sparkling. This is part of the American culture. Not the big American, it is the popular culture. And I am in that level. I connected with that. I don't have rich friends.
So it's like a pop culture. It's like a pop culture concept.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Except
the Van Gogh sunflowers are the most commodified works of art on the planet. So they are high art and pop culture at the same time. For me, The Sunflowers are a very emotional, moving painting because I put myself in Van Gogh's shoes and imagine, you know, what was his life like? And I see some sunflowers that are reaching for the sun, some that are in their prime, some that are falling to seed and dying. And so it's the whole process in a very simple crockery type of a, you know, not a rich man's vase, but a country farmer's thing.
Sunflowers that also look very much alive. They're not crumpling up.
They are, you know,
they're
what?
Open.
You know, do you know?
To me, it's like a statement of your life, that everything that's going on in the exhibition is captured to me in that painting.
When I thought in that painting, every time that I'm going to the museum, Philadelphia Museum of Art, is my visit to this painting is always, I cannot miss it. I go first there and then I go around. For me, it's an icon. It is an icon of power. It is an icon of something that symbolizes the power given to this painting by the society who had the power. So put the power there. All right. This is one thing. Another thing is this. How I can demystify this painting and bring the painting to locals, bring them to our status. Put it here in front of us. Be touchable. Be touchable.
Be careful what you say. You don't want everybody to touch the painting.
No problem. I don't have a problem with that. So it is the part of this, but only the idea that for me, when I said I'm going to make a black sunflower, for me it was an explosion in my mind. Everything could happen. And I think that happened.
Special thanks to Henry Bermudez and Gabby Haidt for taking the time to talk with us. I hope you'll come see our exhibition at Woodmere. To plan your visit, head online to woodmereartmuseum.org, where you can also find out about our current and past exhibitions, digital catalogs, upcoming events, and other resources. And do make sure to stay in touch with us on social media at Woodmere Art. Diving Board is produced by Stephanie Marutis of Bovenda Media, and this episode was mixed by Nina Pollack. I'm Bill Valerio, and thanks for joining us.